by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, True Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
On demand 24/7. You can catch this show, all of our episodes, for the last 4 years. Absolutely crazy that it's been that long. And Janet, we've talked about that a lot, how time flies when you're having fun. And this show, we have had a lot of fun over the years. And I feel like every summer we get kind of in a rut because there's so much stuff going on. We're not sure what to really bring up every week. But something that we always have to remind folks is water is very important to Wyoming, and we've talked the last 3 weeks with John McCoy about those aquatic projects that are happening with the habitat. But there's been some discoveries over the last few weeks also that could come into play and not be a good thing for Wyoming waters.
Absolutely. And you know, we do sound like broken records a lot, Drew. When we talk about aquatic invasive species, it seems like that is just such a hot topic, and continually we reiterate the challenges that we face in Wyoming. You know, again, we're a headwater state, which is so fantastic for us because the majority of our water starts in Wyoming and flows out. And so we are able to keep a lot of our waters clean. But as people travel and recreate in and around Wyoming, we are bringing those invasive species in. And recently, like you said, again, we talked about this last summer, but Colorado has again found a new positive, and some things are changing with what we're calling positive waters for our inspection purposes in Colorado. And really want to remind our drift boat users, our non-motorized boaters out there, how critical it is that they abide by the same thing that a lot of times we're talking about, these motor boats. And very critical that people remember to clean, drain, dry.
You know, and I think a lot of people, and I'm glad you mentioned this earlier, that a lot of the water in Wyoming is generated and begins here. Because I think a lot of people think, well, what's the big deal, you know? But that's a definite point that people need to take into consideration. The waters that we see here, they come from here. So we don't have that contamination that some of the other states are getting, especially when they go state to state, like the Missouri River that flows, you know, all the way to St. Louis. So it goes all the way through that whole situation.
Absolutely. And so a lot of states never even had a choice, right? They were just faced with this, here's this state has a positive, so now you are downriver and you do too. And so again, we're really lucky that we don't have that situation. But it's creeping in, and we all need to be aware that, the more that we can, again, follow those AIS regulations and inspections, the better we are. And the Colorado River is positive now from Dotsero, Colorado West. So Dotsero is the confluence of the Eagle River. And for those of our listeners that may not know, a lot of our drift boat encounters or users that come from Colorado to Saratoga, Laramie, Casper area on the North Platte River come from the Eagle River area. So we want to make sure that if we have friends that are coming to visit that have drift boats or even float tubes, depending on what kind of, a raft, whatever apparatus they use to fish or float, that they are aware that, you know, we really want to push those drain, clean, dry, and they have to have an inspection before they launch. And just because you're non-motorized doesn't mean you are not carrying aquatic invasive species.
So, Janet, do you have to get an inspection every time you take your canoe or your kayak out on the North Platte River? And then maybe you want to go over to the Bighorn River?
Okay, so a couple clarifications there, Drew. If you're kayaking just on the North Platte River, the only time that you have to stop and have an inspection is if you cross the path of one of our check stations, right? So you don't have to seek us out to have an inspection before you launch. You just have to clean, drain, and dry. So when you get out of the river, you know, make sure you're leaving whatever water, mud happens to be in your kayak there at the river, right? You can go home and wash it in your front yard, do whatever it might take to make sure that you're not carrying any invasive species around. You're going to let your kayak dry and you're going to head to the Bighorn River. And you're gonna, you know, stop if you see an inspection on your way to launch, but you don't have to seek out a check station if you're just going within Wyoming's waters. Now, if you do go to South Dakota, Idaho, Utah, wherever, if you cross a state line and come back into Wyoming, that's when you have to have an inspection by law before you launch. And so that's where we're really trying to catch those that are outside coming in. Now, I say these things, but we want to think about New Zealand mud snails. Now, these are not quagga and zebra mussels. I know it all kind of sounds the same, and they're little creatures that have shells and they live in the water. But we have them in the Bighorn River and we have them in the North Platte River. And, you know, we obviously carried them between the two rivers in some conveyance of some sort, whether it was drift boat, on somebody's waders, in a bucket of water, who knows how they transferred, but they did. So knowing that just because we don't have these super high profile zebra and quagga mussels, there are still other types of invasive species, not just, you know, the mussels, but we also have plants and other invertebrates that live in these waters that we don't want to spread. And so it is important to do these clean, drain, dry. And there's all sorts of steps online. People can read about it. And they can also read about all the different types of invasive species that we do have and what, you know, issues those can cause. It's not good. It's not great for our native species that we have, but it's not as detrimental as if we get these zebra and quagga mussels, which really are what we're focusing on keeping out. That is the big red flag that we continually talk about.
So the bottom line, clean, drain, dry. Three exactly. Words that keep that in mind anytime you're floating, and you'll do your part just by doing those three steps, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, just so people recognize a lot of these areas that we're talking about, we're talking about Vail, Colorado. We're talking about Eagle, Colorado. A lot of these waters, you know, Glenwood Springs, all of those are where these waters flow through. And so very popular, fun places. And I guarantee they're doing their job by clean, draining, and drying. And we just need to make sure that they do that before they come to Wyoming.
So we mentioned drift boats. And, you know, that if you've driven out toward Alcova at all over the last few months, it's been pretty popular to be in one of those drift boats doing some fishing, and boy, but it's been really, really hot, and those fish are kind of getting the raw end of this deal.
Well, you know, this time of year we always do talk about this, Drew. Again, this is one of those repetitive things, and actually I think the very first show that we did, we listened to Matt Hahn talk about thermoregulation of fish. Yep. Not just on the river, but also in lakes, streams, reservoirs, all over Wyoming. As the temperatures increase, it really does put some pressure on our trout in particular, because, you know, they don't like the warm water. They are a cold water species. We have kind of three different categories of fish. We have our cold, our cool, and are warm, and that's all based on the temperature that they thrive in. And so as our normally super cold waters start to increase and get closer to that 70 degree temperature this time of year, you know, we have our rivers and everything are starting, the flows are going down. So as the sun hits late in the day, it really heats those waters up, and the fish just really have a difficult time staying cold. So we really request that all across Wyoming, anglers start paying attention to the temperature of the water and make sure that they're adjusting their fishing practices accordingly.
Yeah, and, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. You know, a lot of the anglers that are out on, say, Glendo or Pathfinder, they'll fill up their live well with water and keep that fish in there. And then, if you think about it, that water that is being put into that live well is coming right off the top of the reservoir or lake that you're at. So you're getting that warm water, and if you bring a fish up from, you know, 15, 20 feet, it's a lot colder down there.
You know, a lot of our anglers that are walleye fishing as well as trout fishing are catch and keep, right? They're fishing to harvest to have a great fish fry or smoke their trout in the evening, and that's wonderful. But what we're talking about here are those folks that plan to catch and release, because after you drag that fish in, the oxygen in the water is depleted, because that's what happens with dissolved oxygen as the water temperature increases. So their gills have less oxygen to, you know, give their bodies energy and keep them breathing. And so you have drugged them across this hot water, no oxygen, you handle them, you toss them back in. We don't know what's going to happen there, right? Are they going to live? Are they going to die? Just because they swim away doesn't mean that you've had a 100% success. So we really encourage people, get out early. The water is still cooler in the morning. You can still have some good catch and release time there. But as the water temperatures increase, really consider catch and keep, or maybe wait until fall.
Yeah, you know, definitely one of the things that we always repeat these things is because it's important to Wyoming waterways and the fisheries here in Wyoming, because, you know, when things aren't taken care of, you get into bad situations. And other states, like we'd mentioned, not their fault. They are kind of on a system of water where it comes and there's no stopping it. But here we can at least make it not happen as quickly.
Exactly. We can use every effort that we can to, you know, keep things in check. And that's one of those wonderful things that we can do. And we want to be thinking about our behaviors, and some of our repetitive behaviors are going to have to change soon. This past July, or I guess not this past July, because we're still in July, but this past commission meeting in July, the fishing regulations for the 2026-2027 fishing season were passed. And one of the things that a lot of our anglers are going to be aware, need to be aware of, and I have not yet read, so don't quote me 100% on this, on where exactly it's going to be, but a lot of the North Platte River area by Gray Reef Down is going to be using barbless hooks.
Yeah, Gray Reef, Miracle Mile, and, you know, really all the hot areas where there's a lot of fishing going on.
Exactly. And again, it's that repetitiveness, right? Every time a fish gets hooked with a barb and then released, it causes a little bit of scar. And that scarring is causing a lot of fish mortality, because the fish are not able to, you know, actually feed. And our fish biologists, and we've talked about this on the show, did some fantastic research over the past several years, got some great scientific data. And really implementing these barbless hooks is going to be fantastic. And if anyone wants to see that scientific data, we would love to share that. Our biologists are really excited about the information that they were able to find, and really glad to have had the support that the public really showed them when it came to implementing this new regulation. So we'll talk more about this as it gets closer. Again, that is not this summer. You can still fish the same old way that you've always fished, and don't need to worry about learning anything new before the end of this fishing season. But definitely by January 1, we're going to have some new things out there.
And again, we'll get to that. Maybe we'll get Matt Hahn back in here and dig into his brain.
Yep. He and Jeff, who actually did the research, it would be fantastic to dig in again on some of that.
All right. Very, very good. Be sure to check it out. You want more info, go to wgfd.wild.gov. Thanks, Janet.
Hey, thanks, Drew.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Summer rolls on. It's Drew and Brian, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And boy, Brian, we're into almost August. I mean, we have just a month of July left.
Yeah, we have been flying through this summer. And, you know, we're starting to see some of that traditional summer weather where, you know, pretty nice most of the day, maybe some late afternoon thunderstorms, but boy, it sure is nice getting out. And I mean, there's been some cooler days, been great.
You know, we haven't had too many extreme hot days, and that to me has been fantastic. Consistent 90 is fine by me, because that's, you know, weather to get out, you know.
Well, we still got green grass out there.
Yeah. You know? We were driving down from Casper Mountain a couple times this past week, and you could see one day it was pretty dry looking, and then the next day we had a good rain, and then it was green. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, no, it's kind of a neat time of year, and it hasn't been too hot, so it's still been great to get outside, and you know, there's still plenty of fishing and camping to go around, and especially before those kids get back in school. So now's a good time to get out and enjoy it.
You know, this week driving up on Casper Mountain, first time I'd ever seen a mountain lion. It was kind of interesting. It was early in the morning, and I was like, "You got to be kidding me!" And then I saw a herd of big mule deer, and it's fun to be outdoors.
Well, and we were out chasing baby mergansers this week up on Alcova, taking pictures of those with some friends. And there's an awful lot of wildlife out there. You know, I saw some deer that, you know, still in velvet. I've talked to some guys that said the elk are mostly out of velvet that they've seen up on Muddy Mountain and Casper Mountain. So it's an interesting time of year and plenty of wildlife to be seen.
And it's fun, you know. I mean, you take the family out and go hiking, or we have a lot of great trails up on Casper Mountain, but, you know, Wyoming in general. But being geared up and prepared for that would be, you know, an obvious better opportunity for you to get out.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned we had worked with S&S Outfitters and recorded a little how-to on choosing optics. So, you know, if you are interested in some different optic options, obviously you can come by the store and we can walk you through, you know, the good, better, and best of all those. But Jesse that works here at the store, he did a nice little presentation with them on some of those options. So you can find that on YouTube, probably through the S&S Outfitter page, or you can go to the Rocky Mountain website or Facebook page, and you can watch that video from there and kind of learn a little bit about the different optic options.
We talk about optics, you know, and how important they are all the time, but to see it and to see Jesse explain it, I mean, opened my eyes a lot more.
Not gonna lie, I might have learned a little bit while I watched it.
Go check that again, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports Casper on Facebook. That's a great place to go, and just like them so you get inside scoop on some of the sales that you got coming up. And you know, we're getting back to school, everybody's got that in their mind, but 3-4 weeks still of camping and hiking and getting out on the water.
Yeah, you know, our good friend Noah, he's starting two-a-days at Natrona County. So, yeah, the kids, you know, their programs or sports programs for the fall are starting up. But there's still a lot of people that are hitting the backcountry. You know, I talked to some guys last week that, you know, they drew a specific area for elk, and they're, you know, coming in and buying their jet boils and their, you know, freeze-dried foods and, you know, that kind of stuff, gearing up with 10 millimeters and plenty of ammo to, you know, in case they run into any bears and any problems like that. We've been selling a lot of bear spray, so it looks like there must be quite a few people that are still visiting Yellowstone and that stuff. So still lots to do, lots of planning, and, you know, hunting season's, you know, a month away.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, August, we'll start seeing some of those antelope seasons opening up. So time to get ready.
You know, we've talked about it all summer long. You know, archery season will be here. If you're going out with your bow, you got to make sure that it's tuned up and ready. And you're not just going to be able to, you know, pop in one day and get the exact things you need sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, we've got plenty of bows in stock right now, and lots of options in the colors. But, you know, a lot of guys are just, you know, in that mode where they're just trying to update their sights and their rests and that kind of stuff. And if you're going to do that, you know, you're going to want to get behind it and you want to shoot it and practice with those new tools. So come on in, see Evan here at the store. We do have a indoor range up to 20 yards. So, you know, if you need to get those pins moved and get you started, we can get you going here. And again, you know, Casper Mountain's got the outdoor range, so you can walk the course up there and just give you some, like, the outdoor feel of, you know, shooting at different scenarios.
You know, Stuckenhoff's is another great place to go. They have an indoor range there, too, but they also have the rifle range. And if you're really going to go out and make sure that you're sighted in, it's a great time to get out there, too.
Yeah, you know, we've got a lot of good ammo right now. Just like everything else, we're getting messages from our suppliers, you know, regarding tariffs. There's a big push on tariffs for copper and brass, which both get a lot of times get shipped overseas. I got one of my suppliers or one of the manufacturers, you know, said that they're getting brass from China, and that's a 50% tariff. So if you thought ammo prices were bad now, they're probably only going to go up. So now's a good time to, if you've got that rifle and that caliber that you really like and you've got a bullet that shoots well out of it, wouldn't be a bad idea to buying yourself a 5 or 10 year supply.
Yeah, right. And, you know, you may chuckle at the thought of that, but really imagine if it's 50% now, I mean, it could be even higher eventually.
I mean, you hate to see those scare tactics, you know, of people saying, well, go out and buy it now. But, I mean, they could drop the tariffs, and the tariffs may not eventually go through. Hopefully, you know, Trump gets that all worked out and he knows what he's doing, and we don't have to worry about that. But, you know, I think we've all been under that, you know, that myth that, you know, hey, well, prices are temporarily going up, but we all know that they never go down.
Right.
So, you know, whatever you can do now to secure your fun at a lower price is probably a good idea.
Don't forget, come on in, check them out here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, for everything you need for the outdoors. And there's a great layaway program if you're looking for that rifle for the hunting season. Now's a good time to come get that.
Yeah, a lot of great rifle options out there now. I mean, that we talk about that good, better, and best, and that price point from $400 to $2,500 on a rifle setup, depending on what bells and whistles and foo-foo you want on a rifle. But there's a lot of great options. Tika's come out with some really fantastic, great shooting rifles. We got Fierce. We got Browning. We've got a lot of good options out there. And like I said, the optics, we've got lots of great choices. Go on our website or our Facebook page and check out that video just to see a few. But come into the store if you want to look through a pair of binoculars. Maybe you're just going up to Yellowstone for the weekend and you want a pair for the grandkids. We've got some kid-friendly ones that are lifetime warranties that aren't going to break the bank. So come see us and we'll take care of you.
Awesome. Get over here, check them out. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Hey there, it's Drew and Brian back here on the program. Thanks so much for tuning in. And always remember, you can listen to all of our shows on demand, right in the radio station's app. And you can follow Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, Casper, on Facebook to keep up to date on a lot of the events coming up. And we were just talking about the optics video that you guys put out. And one of the things I was wondering, and it really doesn't make much sense that this would be different, but if you're shooting a 300 Win Mag now and you go to a 308 or you go to a 7mm PRC or something, is it going to make a big difference when it comes to those optics?
Well, the only time that would really make much of a difference is just in your sight-in process. If you're swapping scopes from one gun to another one, especially if you've gone as far as like using the Leupold CDS system, where you're using a dial system, or the Burris Eliminator or the Burris PH, where you're inputting that data of what that bullet is doing. Normally those scenarios that, you know, you sight in at 100 and then it's just a dial a turret to a desired distance, and then it, you know, it will calculate and give you those numbers. So no, I mean, it really doesn't make much difference outside of the sight in process. But, you know, if you traditionally just like a 3-9 scope and you move it from a 308 to 7 PRC, there's going to be a sight in portion of it. But other than that, you know, pretty easy process.
So obviously, you know, you watch that video on their Facebook page and they really go through some good details. So get over there and check that out. And I know, Brian, this weekend is another fishing weekend for you at Glendoe. In a tournament there, and then in just a couple of weeks it's a championship for the Wyoming Walleye Stampede over at Boisen. So I mean, fishing is still hot.
Yes, the fishing has been great. There's I've talked to a lot of guys that have been at Pathfinder and Seminole, and Alcova is still fishing pretty good. A lot of guys, you know, traditionally will just be hitting Glendoe, you know, night and day, but the fishing there has been a little bit tougher, you know, and this time of year, the because of the minimum size restriction there, a lot of times you start seeing a lot of the smaller fish later in the season, which has definitely been happening all year because just the way that's been fishing. So Pathfinder's been a great option for guys, you know, if you want to make the trek all the way to Seminole and you haven't been there, that's fishing well. Alcova's fishing well. Haven't heard much on Kehoe or DeSmit. Again, it's the weather-wise, it's been great. The evenings have been super nice. The walleye leagues that Jay's running, you know, the pretty decent participation there, and some guys are catching some fish during those events as well. And we got our championship here August 9th and 10th at Boisen for our top 60 teams. And the field is full, and it's going to be a great event.
So when we get to that point, the weather is a concern. And, you know, now on the river, they prefer you not to fish in the hot part of the day. And, you know, I mean, obviously people are going to do what they're going to do. But, you know, when we get to the championship, you change from being a wayboat type of tournament to trust the pictures.
Yeah, so we just do a catch photo release. We call it the CPR format. It's a great way to still be able to fish during some of these rougher conditions. You know, when we're pulling fish out of 65 or 70 degree water, you know, pulling them up out of the water and taking a picture and letting them go immediately really has, you know, very little effect on them. You know, once you put those fish in a live well, depending on the water conditions, you know, that surface temperature can be in the 70s, and that's just kind of tough on those fish. A lot of stress. Colder water obviously has more oxygen in it. And just those fish, when we put them back on a catch, photo, release, you know, they can reacclimate themselves to a depth that, you know, the thermal climate is where they like it, or the temperature is what they like. And so they're just not being stressed for very long. Normally we, you know, have those fish out of the water for less than a minute, you know, 1 to 2 at the absolute most. And so doing this catch, photo, release format is a fantastic way to still be able to engage in a tournament type setting. Mm-hmm. We give them all the same hog troughs, so they're using their camera phones and able to verify that the nose is touching the one end of the board, and then they can pinch the tail and get a good measurement at the other end. We don't require the video release, but the tournament that I'm fishing today does have you do a video release.
Oh, to watch it go in the water?
Yep. So that way they know that that one's gone, and the next fish that you measure is going to be a different fish.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You know, technology really has played a role big time in, you know, a lot of the tournaments. You know, even after the days when, you know, you and Mitch figure up the weights and put out the numbers within an hour of guys getting off the water. So, I mean, technology is crazy.
You wonder how far that technology is going to affect things, you know, especially when you start looking at all these AI videos that you and I have been sharing. It's like, you know, it makes you believe that, you know, like, I mean, gosh, you know, you see the AI stuff, you know, taking even stuff that our politicians are saying, and it's like, no, there's no way they said that, you know. Right. But man, AI is crazy what it can make you believe.
It's, you know, well, it could be a game changer, like literally where, you know, like you go to some of the Midwest bass tournaments and all that, where they actually have to have the bags, and you come out and you weigh in front of everybody, and boy, you almost hate it that you don't want it to get to that, but you know, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, technology in general, I mean, as we've progressed, you know, I mean, some of it's for the good, some of it's for the bad, and I guess this will tell.
Watching the gorilla and the Yeti is just fake. That's great to me, you know. You know, so if you are interested in anything about the fishing, come on in, check them out, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And obviously, I mean, if you're just starting out fishing, now's a good time, but make sure you have your license. Make sure you have everything checked off your list.
Yeah, you know, and we're seeing a lot of people, especially as it gets warm down here in the lowlands, you know, we're seeing a lot of guys heading to the Bighorns, guys heading down to Saratoga, selling a lot of the collapsible telescoping rods, you know, guys in a work truck, and he just happens to be positioned somewhere near a stream. And so, you know, he's throwing this packable rod in the back of his truck. But we got a lot of people that are, you know, kind of been more interested in, you know, doing some of that backcountry stuff where they're either going in on horseback or they're, you know, taking a 5-mile hike or so to get back in there. And, you know, the traditional rod and reel combo that we use in our boats isn't really that convenient to be carrying for 5 miles. So we've got some great options on those collapsible rods, and a lot of the, you know, the trout fishing stuff that typically happens in those upper streams, you know, where there's just a hook and a worm, or you guys running a Panther Martin or a Meps, the traditional kind of spinners, we can get you taken care of.
You know, you mentioned that going back deep you know, if you have a side by side and you like to ride the trails, you know, there's obviously great possibilities when with that, you know, maybe even a little more my speed where I'm not trumping through 18 miles of whatever, but that's when you need to have that ORV sticker and then mm-hmm. your fishing license and everything like that.
Well, and of course, when you get yourself a new side-by-side, right. Drew, you got to figure out how you're going to start carrying everything around.
Right. Well, I got a lot more room now.
Yeah, you do.
All kinds of activities will be carried out there.
Yeah. So we got, there's a lot of good trail riding still to be doing. And the backcountry fishing is a great opportunity, especially if you just want to grab your kid and, grab a tent and spend an overnight somewhere. I mean, the weather is just about perfect for it.
Well, come on in and see him here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports to get ready for your maybe final hoorah of the summer.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome in to Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Already had a great show, but boy, we're going to go big time now as bringing in Greg from Bighorn Armory. And Greg, I appreciate you coming on the show. I saw the demonstrations and I've seen the videos and I've saw the conversations about the AR-500. And as soon as I saw that, I knew that we needed to get you on the program.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. And if you haven't shot one, we should get you one to go play with for a little bit.
Absolutely. That would be fantastic.
I think we can arrange that after the show.
Okay. That sounds excellent. So, Greg, let's start from the beginning. You're in Cody, and Bighorn Armory does nothing but big-time firearms. You guys have got a great line, including that AR-500, but where did you start out?
Well, we started out in 2007 with the idea of building a lever gun in 500 Smith & Wesson. Nobody else had done it. A lot of people had tried, and we tried a few things, and they kind of failed. We tried using other people's actions, and they kind of bent. They didn't do well. So we ended up deciding to build our own action, and we kind of built something purpose-built for the 500 Smith & Wesson. It's sized just for that cartridge. It's kind of halfway between an 1886 and an 1892 in size, so we called it the 89. Very clever of us, right? And we chose the internals to be 92 because they're actually stronger than the 86. They've got a receiver bridge in there, and it makes it very, very, very strong. Plus, we use 17-4 stainless steel for all of our parts, and that makes it even better. I mean, we've actually tried to destroy one of our guns. We took 24 proof loads through it. We checked headspace before. We checked headspace after. It didn't change. It's pretty exciting.
That's impressive. So, I mean, when you think of some of the stuff you see on the market today where you look at it wrong and it breaks. But to have something durable, that's quality.
Yeah, well, we tried to make a gun that we would want to use ourselves. So that was kind of the motive force behind everything. And, we make them pretty. We hand polish them. We make them the way they used to be made, when Winchester first made guns, when the lever guns were first made. They're pretty,
and
that's kind of the way we do things.
To have them built right here in Wyoming, American made, that's something that you don't see a whole lot anymore with some of the bigger guns, and to know that their quality is pretty awesome here too. Now, when you start out on one of these guns, you're starting from day one. How long is it going to take you to ship that out to the customer?
Well, the process is actually a fairly lengthy process. I mean, we build the parts and then we hand polish them. We get them prepped and ready to, for appearance surfaces. Then we take them and we ship them off to a nitriding vendor. So we have them salt bath nitrided So the outside surface finish is very, very, very hard and very, very durable. That's our black finish, our standard black. And it comes in at about 82 Rockwell. So, you know, sometimes when a customer comes in, I take a file to it, and they go, don't do that. You're going to ruin the gun. And I run the file over it, and it doesn't leave a mark. You know, so we get that back from nitriding, and then we assemble the gun, we test it, we proof it, we glass bed the stocks to it. You know, by that point, it's pretty much done. But it go from soup to nuts, it probably takes 2 months to build a gun.
And how many do you guys put out a year? I mean, is it a custom order, or do you have a stock showroom just waiting for people to come in?
Well, we have some, you know, basic plain vanilla guns that are in stock, but we do a great deal of custom orders where people want color cased hardened finishes and fancy wood or special this, special that. We try to accommodate in all cases. So the custom orders take a bit longer. You know, you might add another month or two depending on what other features you might want. You know, we do them in different barrel lengths. We do 16-inch barrel, 18-inch barrel, 22-inch barrel. We do 500 Smith. We do, you know, and I'm just sticking with the lever guns right now. We do 500 Smith, 460 Smith, 454 Casull, 45 Colt. That's about the lineup for, or we do both of the Linebaugh calibers. John, before he passed, he kind of convinced us that we should be making lever guns with his calibers. So we did so. And it's kind of fun. They're good stuff. And he was a good guy. We kind of miss him around here.
Yeah. And you know, when you have options like that, you know, I mean, that's really given the consumer a huge list of options to go in and after. And do folks find that they have a hard time deciding what caliber and what they want to go through?
Sometimes, yeah. You know, our salespeople kind of walk them through it, but sometimes there's almost too many choices. You know, if you want engraving or you want special markings or, you know, all sorts of and anything you can do to a gun, we can do pretty much. And sometimes that confuses them a little bit, but we work it out with them and we get them what they need.
So I know you were just in Casper. You're going to be over in Sturgis at the rally here in the next week or two, and you're going to be out on display. You're going to have your stuff out. But when it comes to the AR-500, the videos that I've seen on this are just it just blows my mind how great and how powerful this gun is.
Yeah, it's a gun where you can load the cartridge, which is 500 Auto Max, and just as an explanation, it's a rimless 500 Smith. So if you were to buy one of our AR-500s, it's chambered in 500 Auto Max. If you're a hand loader, all you need is 500 Smith dies and all of that, all of the load data. It's all the same. And you know, we've gotten up to 4,600 foot-pounds out of this gun. It's more powerful than anything that I know of in an AR-10 platform.
That is absolutely amazing. I encourage people to watch this video or come and see you guys at the rally or in Cody. And you guys have now done the Max Pistol, too, so you've kind of gone a step further to give more options in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the pistol's kind of fun. You know, I tend to shoot that from the hip because it's actually very fun. And when you hit things, they kind of blow up, so it's kind of fun. We love taking watermelons out and kind of exploding them because they kind of vaporize.
It's so awesome to see that. And like I said, you know, you were here in Casper, so I know you had a pretty good time with people coming in and seeing you. at the Wyoming Gun Company. And do you guys do a lot of shows and things like that, even around Cody?
We do some. We've actually started doing more in recent months, in the last year or two. They're fun to do, and they get people excited because they get to come shoot our guns or at least see and touch and feel our guns. We're, you know, we typically try and keep them in stock at certain Cabela's stores and stuff. But generally, most guys, they buy our guns, and, you know, it kind of disappears. We don't have a lot on store shelves, so it's kind of fun to do these events so people can actually do touchy-feely stuff.
That's great. What's in the future for Bighorn Armory? I know you guys have gone up and up and up. You have big plans here coming up?
Well, I mean, we've got our latest thing is our Takedown Model 89, which is it's kind of a fun toy because we actually used a John Browning patent from 1903, I believe. It's a John Browning patent that he sold to the Stevens Gun Company to make. They use the spline takedown system for a their Model 5, Stevens Model 520, and it's basically that particular type of connection, but it's absolutely bombproof. I mean, you know, a lot of people make takedown guns with interrupted threads and they're just not strong enough for, you know, the pressures that we play with in our cartridge. So we built this, you know, special jig and special splines and all that stuff. And again, we've tried to destroy them when we failed. So they're just the takedowns are just as strong as the regular guns, which is kind of cool.
That definitely makes you feel pretty good to know that there's nothing really that can happen to this gun, and they'll last for a long time. I mean, gosh, what do you think? It could be around in a couple hundred years.
You know, realistically, we just had the Winchester Collector Show here, and I had dinner with a bunch of those guys. And they've got guns, you know, that they're still in perfect working condition. They're 150 years old. And, you know, I mean, good quality workmanship, it lasts. We have the ultimate durable good. You know, you think about durable goods as like cars and stuff like that. Ours last longer. I mean, what car do you have that could, you know, that's 150 years old? Of course, there aren't any that are 150 years old. But, you know, what 100-year-old car would actually still work without, you know, having a full-time mechanic to keep the thing operational? Nothing. Our guns will outlast the original owner, for sure. I mean, they're a generational gun.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you, Greg, it's been awesome chatting with you. BighornArmory.com, and you can see these Bad Man Pajamas there. Follow all over on social media and get and watch the video. If you get a chance, see them when they're in Sturgis and check out the AR-500 and all the cool guns they got there at Bighorn Armory. And Greg, again, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been my pleasure indeed. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.